Again, our series for really most of all of September and some of October, we're going to focus on the Lord's Prayer. Again, I already tried to share what a powerful change happened in my life as I encountered the Lord's Prayer. What we did on Wednesday is we used the Lord's Prayer as a model. And I think some people didn't realize that you could do that. But as you work your way through the Lord's Prayer, you can realize it's more than just giving God your wish list. There's a lot more to praying than that. And so that was really helpful. I think it would encourage a lot of us on Wednesday even doing that. So let's go ahead and look together again in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer. Again, we'll be doing this every Sunday for the next few Sundays. But I want it to be more than just something you say and something just that you hear. But I want you to start to understand and digest. And as you think about the Lord's Prayer, it'll have some meaning more than just something that is something that's repeated, okay? Let's look together in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The Word of God says, "And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And last week we looked and we saw that the Lord's Prayer begins and ends with who? With God, right? And so I encourage you to challenge you that even when you pray, let your prayer begin and end with the Lord. Like, you might start by praising him and close by thanksgiving him, giving him thanks, whatever you need to do. But let the Lord be at the front and the end of your prayer. Let him be all through your prayer. And as I've been hitting you up pretty hard already on the Lord's Prayer, there's things that you don't see in the Lord's Prayer. And I've even got a poem today to help you with this. I think it'll continue to reinforce it. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say I. You cannot pray the Lord's Prayer and even once say my. Nor can you pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for one another. And when you ask for daily bread, you must include your brother. For others are included in each and every plea from the beginning to the end of it. It doesn't once say me. When we pray the other night and you start saying, "Give us our daily bread," or "forgive us," it's not "forgive me." It's not "give me." It's in that context of one another. And guys, today I want to encourage you so much. Take a look as you leave this place today. Look who's around you. Pick somebody out maybe even this week, even now. Take a look around. Who could you pick on this week? And this person, you're going to pray for God to show up strong in their life and love on them, and you're going to work through the Lord's Prayer in their heart and life. So again, the Lord's Prayer is not about what I want, what I'm going to get. It's all about God, and then it's all about us. So a quick review here, just a little bit. We started beginning with our Father. Even from the very first word, we realize it's an us thing, don't we? Okay. And I try to encourage you that when we talk about Father, that you may have not had a great father figure in your life, but the Lord is an amazing Father. He knows your needs, and he has your best interests at heart, and he loves you so much, so why would you not go to that Father? Most of us look to our fathers to provide for our needs, right? Well, what need is there that the Lord himself cannot provide? That kind of makes you want to pray, doesn't it? Again today, I don't know where you're at. And if you came in and you had a rough week, that's okay. We want you to be in here, and it's okay to have a rough week. You don't have to smile or fake a smile or anything like that. But I want you to think even this morning about your Father and that he loves you and that you can go to him and he has your best interests at heart. He's going to magnify his name and fill you with joy if you but seek him. So don't forget today that we have a heavenly Father. And then, of course, last week, and if you weren't here last week, I laid it on, right? Chop the wood or that kind of thing. I mean, the people who were here, they got hit pretty good. Because the really important thing, the life-changing thing for me in the Lord's Prayer was the phrase, "Hallowed be thy name." What we have to get a hold of is it is not about me. It's not about us. Do you believe that? We can talk about it, but do you really believe it's not about me? We talked a lot about contentment last week, didn't we, right? And I gave you that idea or that quote that, you know, that contentment is to be at my greatest desire is to be used at the Lord's disposal. That's hard, isn't it? Because we have work to do. I mean, thinking right now, okay, I've got to do FileMaker database. I got to get School Messenger set up. I got to get 8,000 iPads organized and FileWave. All the stuff. You guys have the same thing, right? You got dinner to figure out and work to do, and you're worried about your kids at school or college. And in all that, I've got to remind myself that everything I do has got to be for the hallowing of His name. And the truth of the matter is, when His name is magnified, what happens? Incredible things happen, and I'm filled with great joy. That's when I'm content. And that's the thing we have to really learn to trust and believe, that if I really will seek God's will first and His name first, then I'll be satisfied. So if you're not there yet, I'm going to have you test it. Take the taste test, if you will, all right? Try to magnify the Lord first in what you do this week. Make it your goal to try to rest for His glory and see if you won't be satisfied in Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, Wednesday night we sat down around those tables in there, and it was just so powerful to me. We began to work our way through the Lord's Prayer. And we started off with praise like we just did right there, okay? And then we talked about what we're going to look at today, and is that, Lord, let your kingdom come. And I began to express the idea, when God's kingdom comes, it breaks down evil. So I asked for people to kind of think about where they saw injustice. So I'm going to ask you that again this morning. Think just a little bit. You don't have to answer out loud. Where do you see injustice in the world today? Where do you see corruption or evil in the world today? And we could go a lot of different places and a lot of different ways with that, right? So think about that just a moment this morning. Well, as we were praying about that on Wednesday night, one of the first things that came up was the evil or the injustice that is ISIS, right? There's a group of people that have set their heart completely against God, and even though some of them might say they're doing things in God's name, they're not. And they're going out and they are destroying people and artifacts and places. Their destruction is just going through like crazy. That's evil at work. Now, what I want you to see today is we try to bring God's kingdom, you're going to see that's where God's justice begins to confront evil. And so today we want to pray for the people who are confronting ISIS. Okay? They're doing it in many different ways. There are people that are going in as aid workers. They're going in as relief to help the people who are being hurt and destroyed by this organization, if you will, for lack of a better term. Okay, we need to pray for those relief workers and those aid workers. But they're also, not just our country, but there are other countries who are going in by force. And they're going in with soldiers to protect and to hold up the people who are being destroyed and hurt. We need to pray for those governments as they try to fight against injustice. What I want you to see today is when God's holiness and His kingdom begins to break in against evil, that's where the kingdom comes. That's one of the ways that God's kingdom comes. So we talked about that a little bit on Wednesday, and I thought that was a good point for us to consider and to be on our hearts about praying. We also even spent a little time talking about our own government. Now we know that there are some people in government who do love the Lord and are trying to serve the Lord, but we also know that there's a lot of corruption in our government, isn't there? Right? So again, our desire was for God's kingdom to come, for justice to come, and for it to be on the heart of the leaders of our country to please the Lord and not just please the polls or please the people. Right? And that's a good thing to pray for. What I want you to see today, when you pray the Lord's kingdom come, that's what you can pray. Lord, let your justice reign, even in politics. I know for most of us, politics is a dirty word, right? But let's pray for God's will to be done, His kingdom to come, even in that arena. So again, I ask you today, where do you see injustice? If the people of God would pray and be bringers of the kingdom, I'm trying to explain that a little more today, but be a bringer of the kingdom, where would it make the most difference? Just a few ideas for you to think about. What about serving the needs of the unborn? Some of my favorite people back in Southern Illinois were taking care of young moms who were scared. They didn't know what to do. And they were debating whether or not they were going to keep the baby or not. And these lovely people were in a position where those young women would come into their office and they would love them and counsel them and find a way to take care of that child. There was somebody fighting injustice, but maybe in a way we don't think about. They were bringing God's kingdom, if you will. What about working to abolish the sex slave trade? We don't talk about that much here. We don't even think about it. And yet, all over the world, and even some places in the States, this is a huge thing where young girls are taken away and they're sold. Who's fighting that battle? Do you think that that God would like for His kingdom to come in that place and show Himself strong and let justice reign in that place and set those people free? Right? We talked a little bit last spring. We went through the marriage series, and Francis Chan was helping people, I believe it was in Africa, in East Africa, where these women, where they worked a red light district. And their life was a mess until someone would go and invade that space. And Remember the gentleman who was one of the heads of one of the organizations? He had pictures on his wall of young ladies who had been rescued and redeemed, and he had pictures of their wedding, where their life was completely transformed by the power of the gospel and by people who were bringing the kingdom. You want to be a part of that? Man, I do. Okay, now your kingdom, where you're working to fight justice may be different than where I work. You guys know that a lot of my heart is in the jail, and hopefully I can get back into the prison again in just a couple years and do that work as well. That's where I like to be and work and serve. And I want to bring God's kingdom there. Well, maybe it's not God's will for you to be bringing the kingdom in the jail. Maybe you need to bring it in the school. Maybe you need to bring it in the workplace. Maybe you need to bring it for the unborn. Maybe you bring it for the slave trade. There's a hundred different ways to help be a bringer of the kingdom. But what I want you to think about today is, Lord, can I submit myself to you for the hallowing of your name, and knowing that your Father, know you can provide my needs, Lord, can you put me where I need to be that I can bring your kingdom so that justice will be served? Now you can go to sleep. There was the message right there. You got it, okay? Now I'm not done talking, of course, but that's the point of the message, all right? You guys today, we want to be bringers of the kingdom. So let's look again. Verse 10, very simply, your kingdom come. Now the Jews used to pray, the kingdom of thy Messiah come. They still pray, the kingdom of thy Messiah come. Is it kind of interesting here to you that Jesus, when he says your kingdom come, he doesn't say the kingdom of your Messiah come? Why doesn't he say that? Because he's right there. Jesus is there. He is the Messiah. He doesn't say to have to pray that the Messiah would come because the Messiah has arrived. And that's why he doesn't say that. And that already should be a clue to the audience of who he is. Again, the Lord here makes it clear that Messiah has come by eliminating Messiah from the prayer. So this is a prayer for God's business to be done, right? You ever think things like that, right? It's a prayer that the gospel invitation would go out to all the nations. Yesterday, I don't want to pick on Brother Rick too much. We had a good conversation. You know, at our church, we talk a lot about the gospel going all around the globe, right? And I'm really about that because I know there are so many people who haven't heard. But Brother Rick pointed out, he said, well, there's a lot of people here that need the gospel too. He was right on the money. The gospel needs to go out everywhere, doesn't it? And right here in Indianapolis, we need to bring the gospel. And notice today, and much as I hope that people will come into this place and hear the gospel, but guess what? For the most part, that's not going to happen. Where are people going to hear the gospel and see the gospel? As you live it, as you bring it, as you take the word of God to them, right? In your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, at the post office, at Walmart, as you love and serve, as you seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly with your God, that's where people are going to see the gospel and hear the gospel. And then the Lord's going to change their hearts, and then hopefully they'll join a body of believers, right? Again, bring the kingdom. All right, just a couple things today, and I hope this doesn't get you too confused. Initially, it did confuse me. I think I've started to get a handle on it. Hopefully, I can share it with you. But God's kingdom is now, and God's kingdom is also future. Okay, now see if we can kind of hang with me here today. I think by the end of the day, I've got an illustration that'll tie this all together, all right? But the kingdom of God is now. It's happening right now, and yet the kingdom of God is still, in some respect, yet to come. So let's see if we can explain that a little bit today. God's kingdom is now in the sense that God is in control even now. Is God in control right now? Sometimes you look around, that's hard to believe, isn't it, right? I mean, let's just be honest. You see people hurting and pain, you see injustice everywhere, and you're like, God, where are you? But the way that the Lord set things up is that he gave us free will, the ability to choose, and so sin has been allowed to run rampant, okay? Yet, there's nothing, I want to be very honest with you today, there is nothing that happens on this planet that isn't filtered by the hands of God. It has all went through his design, his will. And it doesn't mean that he desires for bad or evil or sin to happen, but he's allowed things to happen because of the fact that he allowed us to choose to love him or not to love him. So in a sense, I want you to take with it today that God is in control even now. The gospel is going out now, right? Hallelujah. On Wednesday night, we read about churches all over the globe where people are coming to Christ. They're being baptized. Their lives are being changed. People that were drunkards are getting rid of the bottle. People that had broken marriages are seeing put together. People that were addicted to all kinds of things are being able to shed those addictions because of the power of the gospel. That's happening now. We had to wait for heaven to see that happen. That's awesome. That's part of God's kingdom being here and now and present even today. So in that sense, we are to pray for God's kingdom to show itself in the present world. Let me read a scripture to you that hopefully will help even validate that Jesus said the same thing. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Scripture says, "Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, Lo, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.'" You hear it? So here's the thing. You guys know Jewish history, right, a little bit? Right? They were looking for Messiah. They were looking for the king to come. And so as they began their look and their quest, Jews were in a lot of problems, right? First, they were taken away by Assyria. Then, in 586 BC, or 722 BC, then in 586 BC, they were taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody remember him? Daniel the lion's den, three Hebrew boys, right? Okay. And then they're just scattered, and they're taking control of them. Finally, they fight and work, and there's a remnant that's back in Jerusalem and back in Israel. They try to grow and develop. Well, when Jesus comes on the planet, who's in control? Israel? No, Rome's in control, right? And so the Jews have been longing and looking for Messiah to come, because what they pictured was when Messiah shows up, we're going to be the glorious country again. We're going to rule. We're going to reign. They were looking for the king to come. They were saying, bring the kingdom. What did Jesus just tell them? He said, the kingdom's not coming like you think it is. But actually, the kingdom is right in the midst of you right now. Because Jesus is the kingdom. And he came, and instead of setting himself up and being born in a royal palace and being raised up as a king and then conquering Rome, he was born in a manger, right, in a stable. And his mom and dad weren't even married yet, technically, right? He was the son of a carpenter. He was from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Really? That was Jesus' reputation, right? He went and he lived a life incredible. He only lived 33 years. He died on a cross as a criminal, capitally punished. What? He brought the kingdom. Think about that for a second. I think some people, hang with me here, when they think of Christian kingdom today, they think about Republican domination. Can I get an amen? It's awfully quiet out there. Is that the kingdom? I'm going to tell you today, that is not the kingdom. I've seen 10 people just walk out of the service, right? No. The kingdom of God, what's on the back of those t-shirts you've been wearing at our staff events, right? Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. That's the kingdom. You start pursuing justice, you try to take care of those little unborn babies, you try to take care of those girls being messed up with that slave trade. That's justice. You're seeking for their betterment, their care. Love mercy. When you know that somebody is hurting and they need help, they're drunken down or they're torn down by their addiction, and yet you reach into their life to love for them and minister to them and you show mercy to them when everybody else says they ought to be judged, that's the kingdom. And when you realize it's not about you and your contentment is all about resting at God's disposal, you walk humbly with your God, that's the kingdom. Everybody's looking for a king on a throne and domination in a political regime. And Jesus says, I've already brought it. Whew, that's good. Are you listening? The Lord's trying to talk to us today about that. Let that be the way that we bring God's kingdom. All right. That's God's kingdom now. So I could probably use a lot more examples, but I wanted you to think about that today. That's God's kingdom. It's here. It's now. It's active. And we can be a part of that. And the Lord asks us to pray to be a part of that. Remember, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, let your name be hallowed. Let your kingdom come. Lord, let me be a part of bringing your kingdom. However you want to use me, let me be at your disposal. Let me be your hands, let me be your feet, your mouth. Let me love and serve however you see fit, that your kingdom will come and justice will invade and will roll, righteousness will roll like floodwaters. Let me be a part of that, Lord. Is that part of your prayer? I'm going to be honest, a lot of my prayers, Lord, I need this and this and this. Can you help me out today? Instead of, Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing. God's kingdom is now. Now, the other truth that I want to encourage you with today is God's kingdom is also future. There's coming a day. I'm trying to calm down because I don't want to scare Diane whenever I shout once in a while. She can't really take it, right? There is coming a day when Christ comes and reigns on this place. There's no more sin, there's no more dying, there's no more grief, there's no more disease. And the Lord puts things back together exactly like they're supposed to be. Anybody want to be there? Anybody got somebody that's already went on there that you want to see? Woo! I'm ready to go. That's a good day, isn't it? That's a future kingdom, and it is very real. It's as real as this is real right here. And all through the scriptures reminds us that we should work toward that day. We need to be ready for that day. Are you ready to go to that day? There's thousands of people in our area right here. There's millions of people in our country that are not ready for that day. Let's be kingdom bringers. Let's preach the gospel, and let's demonstrate it with love and justice and mercy, right? Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. The scripture says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. By the way, when you do the work of the kingdom, it doesn't mean it will always end well for you here on the earth. Right? But ultimately, this is not it. I've been telling you that ever since I got here, right? This ain't it. Verse 10. These slain called out in a loud voice, and they said, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? In verse 11, then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been were completed. You can see there that hint that justice is to come, isn't it, right? There is injustice now, but justice is to come. And this is the kingdom that we usually refer to. The one that has no more death or grieving or tears, no more sin, where whole bodies are put back together and they are eternal, right? My cousin Stacy is one of the people that always comes to my mind. She was in her early 40s and she lived 3 years with really bad cancer. Right now, Stacy has no more cancer, right? My grandma was diabetic, a double amputee diabetic. My grandma can run right now. I have a friend still alive over in Salem, Illinois. Her name's Sister Wanda, and she walks with this cane. But she is always coming to church, no matter. She'll come in the worst of weather, drive her car on the ice and snow. Like, tell her not to. She gets out with her cane, and she comes. When Sister Wanda gets to the new kingdom, she doesn't need a cane anymore, does she? Right? That's what we're looking forward to, what the Lord has in store for us. Desiring God's kingdom puts us in the right frame of mind. While desiring our own pleasures may tell us, Lord, please wait to come until I've got this, or this done. You follow what I'm saying? I think I've told you this before, but back in 88 when I was in high school, right? Back in 1988 when I was in high school, I thought the Lord was going to come back. He's got it over his hand and he had it all planned out. And I hadn't studied the scriptures enough then to realize that nobody knows the day or the hour. Okay? But I was looking at that, so I thought, maybe the Lord's coming back. And you know what one of my prayers really was? Lord, don't come back yet. I haven't found a wife. Isn't that crazy? Some of us are that same way with the Lord's kingdom. Lord, don't do this yet. I haven't got the things I want to do done yet. I want to get this place in my occupation. I want to move this far in my job. Or I want to have kids. Or I want a better relationship. I want this, this, and this. And then you can do your kingdom. Is that how it works? Whew. Lord, please wait to come until I've been able to do all the things I wish to do. Jesus teaches us that right now, we should desire the kingdom of God. What's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what's it say after that? All these things shall be added unto you. That's the kingdom. Seek the kingdom, and then ultimately you'll receive the peace that the Lord has promised. All right. Today, I want you to think this way. This is a good test of your spiritual maturity. Some of you have asked me, we had good conversations even over the past year, and you're like, you know, sometimes I just feel like I want to grow more, and I'm not quite where I want to be yet. Well, this is a really good test of your spiritual maturity. What do you really desire first? And as I've been kind of challenging you every week, this is a daily battle, right? This is not something you conquer, and then I'm there, and I'm arrived, and everything's good. This is you get up out of bed in the morning, you better get in your prayer closet, because I need help today to desire God's things first. Because I have 1,000 other things that want me to desire them first. Everybody feeling, you're feeling that, right? I can tell you are. It's a daily battle. What do you really desire first? Are you praying for God's kingdom to come, for his name to be hallowed, or are you praying for God to bless your kingdom that it may come? Did you catch that? You guys, I've done that way too much. Even as a church, we have to be careful about this. Lord, here's our plan. I want you to bless it and do great things with it. Is that how it's supposed to work? Mm-mm. Our prayer is, Lord, what is your plan? Because we know you'll bless it, and we know you'll do great things with it. Just help us to get in on it. How about in your own personal life? What's your prayer? Lord, I'm going to do this. Lord, give me this job. Lord, give me this child. Lord, give me this relationship. Lord, give me, give me, give me. What the Lord says, no, no, that's not how it works. You're supposed to be praying for my kingdom to come. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And then what's it say again? All these things will be added unto you. The things that you need to do what he wants you to do, God will take care of those. Seek his kingdom. That's easy to say. It's a daily battle to fight, to pray the Lord would do that in our heart. All right, another thing to think about this morning, another point, if you will, that reminds us when we pray this in the Lord's Prayer, and that is, are you ready to face the kingdom? It's kind of challenging. I'm not trying to be a downer to anybody today, but are you ready to meet your Maker? If today was your day, it could happen in 1,000 different ways, but today was your last day on the planet. Are you ready to meet him? That's a tough, kind of a sobering question, isn't it, right? When you think about the kingdom coming, part of that is to receive that in your mind. Think about that a little bit. Have I lived a life that is pleasing to sight, or am I? Even if I've messed up in the past, the Lord can forgive those things. But even right now, where I'm at today, when I'm walking through the Lord's Prayer, Lord, am I living a life that would please you, that if today was my day and I had to meet you, I could say that I was being about the kingdom today? Even if it meant I was working on iPads or I was doing FileMaker databases, because I was loving and serving the people that the Lord had put in my life, then I could be satisfied and content in that. How about you today? Are you at that place? And if you're not, this is a reminder to you, Lord, I want to pursue you. I want to know what it means to be bringing the kingdom in the work you've given me and the life you've given me. Let that be your prayer. The scripture can put it in such a better, more poignantly than I can. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. And what comes after that? The judgment. Everybody hear that? There's only been two people that have never died. Everybody else is going to die. Boy, you really had a cheerful message today, didn't you? You would go home, tell your friends. We're going to die. We are. That's the truth. That's the way things are set up. But we can really live if we want to. We have to rest in the Lord. We have to repent of our sins, trust Christ as our Savior, and then pursue him. And he says we can be in his kingdom. What a great promise. God's kingdom is about a real, tangible peace on earth. It will be a time of true justice. As it is within our ability, we should strive to bring God's kingdom even now. In other words, we are to work for justice, support the oppressed, care for the orphan and the widow, and seek peace while we are able. Those aren't my words, guys. That's right out of the Word of God, right out of James, right out of Isaiah. That's what we're to be about. So today, can you pray, Lord, let your kingdom come? Let me read to you from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. There the scripture says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Have you guys read much in Romans 14? How's your life bringing righteousness? How's your life bringing God's peace where you're at? Hopefully your life's not bringing strife to others, but it's actually drawing them closer to the Lord. How is your life bringing joy, the joy of the Spirit, to other people? Again, these are the things that we are to pursue. Can you pray, Lord, let your kingdom come? So what does this mean? Just a few things here. We're almost done, guys. Hang with me. You're doing really good today. God, I am ready to meet you face to face. My heart is clean. May your kingdom come. You pray that today? I mean, sincerely, can you pray that today? Lord, I think I'm ready. I'm trying to bring your kingdom in the areas of life that you've given me. I'm ready to meet you. If you can't today, then today's the day to change that. And all you do is just change your heart, your posture toward the Lord. Lord, you're in control. That's, again, easier said than done, right? But today, if you give your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, you're in control of my life, you can be ready to meet him. This means, God, I desire your kingdom above all my own dreams and plans and wishes. I'm seeking your kingdom first and foremost. Whew. That can be kind of tough, isn't it? I think especially for young people, that's really hard, isn't it? Like, you're just getting ready to get out of high school, and you've got all these things that you want to go out. My daughter right now is kind of in that space or that place in her life. And you guys know Brooklyn. She's so ambitious, she's going to turn the world upside down. You know, she's going to go and conquer journalism and politics, and she's going at it. And I hope she does do great things for the Lord. But I hope that ultimately it's not about her doing great things, but it's about her bringing God's kingdom. I think she gets that. How about you today? Do you get that? Is it about your kingdom or is it about the Lord's? Again, Lord, I desire your kingdom of all my own dreams and plans and wishes. And then this also means, God, I will do my best to fight for justice and truth and peace and the spreading of your good news until you completely fulfill your promise by ushering in the kingdom. How about you today? Where are you doing that at? I'm going to tell you, this is to convict the preacher probably most of all, but you're probably not bringing the kingdom too much as you sit on the couch and watch ESPN. I know you're probably looking for that clause somewhere, but that's probably not bringing the kingdom, is it, right? What are you creating? What are you developing? What relationships are you growing in? Who are you ministering to? Who are you helping and loving and serving? That's a challenge, isn't it? In such an entertainment age that we're in, it's so easy to access. Good night. You can pull out your phone and watch anything that you want. You could watch an eternity of stuff that really doesn't matter if you wanted to. Lord, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let me be part of that. If you really want to see if your life is measuring up as someone who is seeking God's kingdom first, read the Beatitudes. We were there not too long ago, weren't we? If you can go and you can look and say, yes, I'm trying to be poor in spirit. Yes, I'm mourning over the things God mourns over. Yes, I'm hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Yes, I love mercy. Yes, I'm seeking peace. Yes, I know persecution may be coming. Yes, I'm pure in heart. That's where the real test lies. And you can tell if you can really are developing that type of lifestyle. Again, today, pray your kingdom come. Well, I want to put a picture up now. Can you guys see that? Go ahead and do the next one. Maybe you can see it a little better. This is Micah, okay? Micah was on our church plant team up in Noblesville, and we were first there. Micah's probably like in first or second grade there, and they had T-ball, but you could also do coach pitch, you know, kind of thing. And so Kevin was our pastor there, and Kevin loves baseball more than almost the breath of life. Kevin loves baseball, okay? Kevin's played baseball, he knows baseball, huge Cardinal fan, but he would go to any ballpark just to watch baseball, because Kevin, that's Micah's dad, he loves baseball. Now Micah's up there, and if you can see, I don't know if you can hardly see, but Micah's eyes are closed. How does that work when you're trying to hit a baseball? It's probably not going to happen real great, right? Okay. And what was interesting is to watch these little kids play baseball. It doesn't look anything like baseball. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they got their eyes closed and they're swinging wherever, right? Okay, and if they ever hit anything or hit off the tee, they run to third base instead of first, right? And the one kid's out in right field and he's just picking his nose. The other kid's got his glove and he's playing with it. The other kid's got his hat and looking around at his hat, right? You know what I'm talking about? They're playing baseball, but it doesn't look like baseball at all. Now, what Kevin shared with our church, and this really has always stuck with me, is that every now and then, pitcher will throw the ball to the batter, and the batter will actually hit the ball, even a first grader. And the ball will roll down to the second grade kid, and he'll bend down, and he'll be able to catch the ball in his glove, and he'll pick it out of his glove, and he'll throw it over to the first grader on first base. And that first grader will catch the ball, and everybody just like claps like crazy, right? And what Kevin would say is, you know what? That was baseball. Now think about that as it relates to the kingdom. This world's a crazy mess, right? But every now and then, somebody like you or me shows mercy, We preach the gospel. We walk humbly. We pursue justice. And somebody that was kind of sick and hurting, they find healing in the power of God and His Spirit and the truth of His Word. And their life begins to change. And the people around them begin to change. And the Lord looks down and He says, that's the kingdom. And most of the time, it doesn't seem to look like the kingdom. But as we live the principles of God's Word and live out His life, guess what? Just like Micah every now and then brings baseball, every now and then we can bring the kingdom. You want to bring the kingdom today? Man, I do. You guys, more than anything. And to be honest with you, I felt like yesterday we brought the kingdom. We just showed love. We were seeking mercy. We were trying to share people an invitation to come and hear the gospel and find that Jesus loves them and cares for them. If they would just turn from their sin and turn to Him, their life could be put back together. We were sharing it with food and kindness, any way that we could. We were trying to show the love of God. That's bringing the kingdom, even for a yard sale or rummage sale or garage sale, whatever you want to call it. Now, how about this week, right? Some of you are going to go work tomorrow, and it's work. Cynthia's got to look at somebody's leg or elbow or ankle again sometime, right? Or Esther does too. Todd's got to try to break down DNA someplace, right? Wendy's got to stare at 30 kids that have no clue what they're doing. I'm going to look at thousands of iPads and be like, oh. And yet all around us are people who are hurting and who need someone to love them and someone to tell them this truth, and that if they would turn to Christ, their life could be turned upside down, and then ultimately they could experience the most wonderful thing, which is the kingdom of heaven, and it's coming. Anybody want to be a part of that? And I do. Then when my life is done, I can be satisfied in that. Lord, you had it. It wasn't anything. It was whatever you wanted to make of it. But I gave it to you, and I can be content in that. And hopefully he can say, boy, I hope that he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter my rest. Let's stand this morning.